You know, when you hear about the terrible circumstances in places like Ferguson and others, you know, it's easy to feel like there are no solutions, but we just heard about the wonderful work that's happening on the ground. And so if we just stop and think about, you know, what some of the solutions that are already in play are, you know, the new legislation on the ground that's either in the works or hopefully, you know, it will be passed soon. The organizing, and I really can't underscore that too much. I mean, the fact that we have this new crop of leaders coming out, but then also on the national level, the response, I think, has been quite encouraging. So pretty soon after the non-indictment of Officer Wilson, the 21st Century Policing Task Force came together, which was you know, executive appointment of a task force. And if anyone knows about task force, task forces, they can often be convened and then take forever to issue anything. This task force actually worked on a very tight schedule and issued a report just last month, and actually made some very key recommendations on ways in which we can improve our overall criminal justice system. These are recommendations, so these are not laws yet, but this is a path toward solution. And we were extremely pleased to see it echo many of the solutions that we called for within days of Mike Brown being killed. You know, from our national perspective, while folks were organizing on the ground and making their demands about local change, we wrote to the Department of Justice and we made four very explicit demands. One is that we absolutely need data collection, right? I mean, you know, I'm rattling off stuff I've heard in the news that we've all caught on YouTube somewhere, but we need data collection. We need to be able to unpack why this is happening with such frequency. What were the conditions of the arrest, the stop, the excessive use of force, and really start to track this statistically and to have the empirical basis to challenge the underlying assumptions about Black criminality, because that's really what this is about. We also demanded, you know, increased accountability. As we've seen in nearly every one of these cases, except for the Akai Gurley case where the officer was indicted, and there are lots of interesting circumstances about why that happened in that case and not others. There needs to be more accountability. If these things happen and they're not going to stop on the dime, no matter what, you know, reforms we get, we need to know that when they occur, that police officers will be held accountable. And the report does suggest reforms in that regard, in terms of independent prosecution, in terms of some civilian oversight. Of course, the devil is in the details, whether, you know, the oversight of civilians would have any subpoena power. Could they really enforce anything? You know, there's a lot to really hash out still, but at least there is that understanding that there needs to be increased accountability. We also asked for body-worn cameras, which I know is still a very controversial issue. Not a blanket request, one that is accompanied by clear protections for privacy and protections against misuse. But one of the things that I think we all see is that the ability to have some visual record of what occurred makes a difference. Even if it didn't make a difference in the justice system with respect to Eric Garner, for example, it has made a difference in terms of elevating public consciousness about these issues. So that's something that we think is important, and it then can become part of the accountability process if we structure it correctly. And, you know, we're seeing all of those reforms as part of these recommendations and some of what undergirds the DOJ report. So the Department of Justice, as you know, did not find that Darren Wilson had violated Mike Brown's civil rights or constitutional rights, but did find that there is a pattern and practice of discrimination in the Ferguson Police Department based on a ton of horrific facts, including, you know, terribly racist emails. And to be honest, out of all the statistics and all the information in the report, to me, not that that's the least concerning, but there's so much more. People focused on the emails. if you just look at the actual brute force that's being used on a regular basis against African Americans, the way in which they're being financially exploited to such a high degree, that's far more alarming than the racially charged emails. But what I do think those emails reflect is the culture of policing that needs to change and that needs reform. And that goes to one of the recommendations that the Department of Justice has made, and that is building community trust. I know we sort of touched on that as part of the solution. I frankly think it's a goal. It's not a solution so much. I mean, I don't think the community needs to trust the police to solve the problems of the police. I think the police department needs to earn that trust, and that really is that's the solution. Earn the trust of the community that you serve and protect, and then the trust will come. And that is certainly a goal to have. But as folks have said, we have to have a more expansive view of policing and what that actually means. And the report does suggest some of that. But I think one of the limitations is that it envisions really the same sort of police department, just improved and bias-free. And I don't know that the way in which police departments and law enforcement agencies are structured, and as I said, the overall culture will allow for the sort of transformation that the events in Ferguson have the potential to bring about. So I think the DOJ report is a great start, but I think we are going to have to continue to fight and push for a much more imaginative solution in order to make the most of this moment and these tragic events.